outside. That's not back feet, is it? That's rain, right? Wow. Thank the Lord for this day that we can come to His house and worship Him. What an incredible time of worship we've already had to experience the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing of His goodness, to sing of His love and mercy, and to be here this morning. What a great privilege it is. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I know some of you might like to sleep when it rains, so this morning I want to caution you not to go to sleep as I preach, but definitely be attentive, right? Rob, thank you so much for this opportunity to come up to New Union this morning to worship with you, to share a message from God's Word. You know, as Rob said just a moment ago, I've met Rob through my brother, who is over in Jackson, Tennessee, as Rob was there on staff in the city, and got to know Rob, and I heard about Rob, and like you said, we've come together over this past year, and to be able to meet him and his wife now, Jill, and to hear what God is doing here at New Union. What an incredible testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is working in the life of this church, that He is using not only your Pastor Rob, but also this entire staff, because it takes a team. It takes all of them working together, seeking and discerning the will of the Lord to lead a church and to see it grow and to see it reach people for the cause of Christ. And so this morning, I am delighted to be here, and I'm privileged, and I count it an honor to be here. And I just want to talk to you this morning about just some concepts and something that's been weighing on my mind for many months. And the title of my message this morning, as we get started, is A Recipe for Failure. A Recipe for Failure. I'm going to be talking this morning about making plans for the future. I'm going to talk to you this morning about what it means to make plans the right way and the wrong way. How God would have us to make plans for the future, and how we many times make plans without consulting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you may be making plans this morning for something. You may be buying a new home, right? Many of you may be considering the college that you will attend. Some of you may be considering this morning the person that you might marry and spend the rest of your life with. You know, we make plans all the time. But do you know, as we make those plans, a lot of times we like to run a little bit ahead of God, don't we? Have you ever been there? Where you've been making plans and then you all of a sudden you stop and realize, God, where are you? Where have you been? And then it's not that God has gone distant or been in a distant God or is hiding anywhere, but you've really forgotten to really talk to Him about the plans that you're making. I want to talk to you this morning out of the book of James, because I think he has a lot to say about as we plan for the future and the right way and the wrong way. And this morning, as we consider this passage in James chapter 4, we're going to see some ingredients that will help us as we move forward, because as we know what this recipe is, as we know these ingredients that possibly will lead us to failure in the Christian life, it might hinder you, it might hinder me from not going down a path in life where we end up ruining our Christian faith or our Christian walk or our testimony or finding ourselves outside the will of God. And this morning, I believe all of us in here would like to find ourselves, and hopefully each of you are right where God wants you, right in the center of His will. You know, that's a mark of a true believer, is being inside the will of God. So if you found your place this morning in James chapter 4, I want us to begin reading in verse 13. James 4, verse 13. This is what he tells us. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there, trade, and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Then he asks the question, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while or a little time and then vanishes away. But instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, as we assemble here today, as we hear the rain outside, Lord, the thunder, as, Lord, we, We just hear your creation, and God, you at work this very moment in our lives. God, we pray for the moments that we are together here, God, that your Spirit would guide us, that your Spirit would illuminate these words on this page, God, that you would allow us to hear the intent, God, of the Holy Spirit today as it speaks to us about making plans for the future, Lord. Would we all be open to examining our lives? Would we all be open to hearing from you today? Would we all be open to receive this word that you have given us today? Lord, let it not only speak to me, but Lord, let it speak to all of us today, Lord. Speak through me, Lord. Use me today. Reveal something to someone today that they've not noticed over the last few weeks, God. But I pray that you take this passage, that you would use it to speak to us today, that you would change our lives, Lord, that you would maybe even chart a new direction for us as we consider this passage today. So guide us now. Bless this time, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. In your Son's most precious and holy name, I pray all this. Amen. My aim this morning is to identify just a couple areas that cause many Christians to fail when it comes to obeying God's will. So that, you know what, that we might take these principles and that we might apply them to our lives, that we may not fall in the same trap. You know, as we look at Scripture, it has a lot to teach us about life. It has a lot to teach us about how to live, how to conduct our lives, how to talk to others, how to conduct business, how to relate to others. And today, we have a lot to talk about when it talks about, and as we consider living our life. As we consider the ingredients that James here is talking about, the first ingredient, I think, to failing or failure in the Christian life is planning with an improper perspective. And if you're taking notes this morning, you can jot these down. Planning with an improper perspective. Let's take a moment and just kind of consider the book of James as we find ourselves this morning. James talks a lot about what it means to have true, genuine faith. He talks about how we actually use trials in our life at the beginning of the book, and how we use them, and how it shapes and molds us, how it increases in us faith that only is provided and given to us by God. He talks about how we are to use our tongue, and how we are to deal with those who are not like us, how we are to treat people equally. He talks to us about how we accomplish things in life seeking God first and foremost. And essentially, as we go into this passage, chapter 4 this morning, James is just ending a section talking about how we, as believers, the church, is affected by worldliness. How our relationship with the world is not something that we can just go in and out, but it truly leaves a mark. It leaves a stain. When we are in the world, it affects us. It affects the way we think, act, and behave. And it's very important there that James goes right into this passage when he talks about our relationship to the world and now our relationship to planning for the future. Let's look at verse 13 as James is talking here. He says, "Come now, you who say." And for the language of Chris Moses, in my paraphrase, this is what he says. Come on now, listen up, right? Come on, y'all, listen to what I have to say, because this is important. You are charting a path in life right now that you need to hear this message. And it may be you this morning who needs to hear this message. Consider what verse 13 is saying. There's an individual who's planning to take a trip. An individual who's planning to set out on a journey, right? That not only has this person determined that he's going to go or she is going to go, but he's also or she's also decided on a destination. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town, right? Not only have we decided where we're going, or that individual's decided where they're going, but they've also decided how long, and to spend a year, how long they'll stay there. Not only have they decided how long they're going to stay there, but they're going to engage in business. They already have the business venture, the business that they're going to start. The thing that they're going to set up, the boutique they may set up around the corner, right? Or the in-home business that they're going to start next year. They're going to do this. But not only that, they even have it down to the actual results of the business. But what does it say? Make and trade and then make a profit. Now, are there issues with this business mentality? are there issues here reading this on a surface level? I don't see an issue with planning, do we? But where in this scripture do we see any reference to God's will, right? We don't see it. We see an individual here who is planning not only where they're going, not only where they're, how long they're going to be there. They're talking about the business that they're going to be involved in, what they're going to do, trade, make a profit. And when we consider that, there is no concept of God in this equation. And you see here, this is James initially talking about this improper perspective. And this is a result of how the world has affected their thinking, their mentality, how they make plans. Because what they have done is they have seen how the world talks about planning for the future. And what they have done? They have said, I'm going to do the same thing in my own life. There's, I believe, three areas in this improper perspective that we see here in this passage. First of all, as I've already kind of mentioned, is they have really lost a perspective. Their perspective of the future is really skewed. Their perspective of what's going to happen has kind of got misaligned. And you know, this particular individual here, as they think about the future, they're really not really considering the things that are around them. Ultimately, in this passage, James is trying to drive home the point that God is out of the equation. But essentially, this person, and you've heard the saying before, is the captain of his own or her own ship, right? They're sailing life's path all by themselves. They are charting a path. They are charting a course. They see the prize, and they're going for it. And then asking questions later, right? So their perspective of the future is a little misaligned. You know, Jesus talks about the future, and even on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, he talks about planning for the future, and even tomorrow, how thinking about tomorrow really affects today. And he tells us about tomorrow, not even to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, because what? Each day, you know this passage, has enough troubles of his own, right? So thinking about tomorrow, thinking about the future, many people in the Christian life lose sight of the future. And the perspective is a little bit skewed because they're thinking a little bit more about today and not in light of eternity. Just as an illustration, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in Alabama. I was an athlete. And from a very young age, I always stood about a foot taller than every other 12-year-old. And about 15, I stopped growing at about 6'2 and a half. And so everybody told me, Chris, you're going to be great. You're going to be an athlete. You're going to play Division I college football. And after time, and after a number of years, even going up through middle school and in high school, playing, making all-state, winning trophies, state championships, I began to believe that life was all about playing football. And I just really thought my life was just focused just on those next couple of years, those next few years of where I determined I will go and play football. But you know what? God had a different plan. You know, in my life, I began to think about more about the temporal than about the future. And I began to think about more, you know, what is today? What is the next few steps? And I didn't really think about my life 20 years from now. You know what? We fall into that as well. Young people, if you're here today, you're making big decisions for the future. Do not lose sight of what tomorrow is going to bring. Do not lose sight of the future, because the decisions you make today have an impact on tomorrow. You know, God was in all those plans. God was in that planning, even though I didn't consult him. And it took me some time to really realize that, you know what, it's more about 6 months from now. It's more about just a year from now. It's more about 2 years from now. It's about eternity. And you see, that is important to remember. Not only does this individual lose sight or their perspective of the future, but life in general, their perspective of life in general has been skewed in their thinking. It's been affected by the world. It's been affected by their worldliness. And James here asked the question in verse 14, because they've already determined where they're going. We've already outlined that. But then James poses a very blunt question. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? And I want to ask you the question this morning. What is your life? James answers that question to the people here. He says, for your life is a mist. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I think often we lose sight of the big picture, right? We lose sight of really the whole God's sovereignty aspect of life. Looking at God looking at life from a 30,000 foot approach. You see, God is sovereign. And when we think about this perspective of life, even the psalmist talks about it. I thought, Rob, you were going to read Psalm 102, but you went somewhere else this morning. But he says this, for my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. You think about how life is. It's just a moment. It's just here today. It's gone tomorrow. And do you know there's so many people working hard, hard, hard for tomorrow, for 6 months from now, 2 years from now, and really losing sight of what life is in respect to eternity. Do you know how long eternity is? Have you ever tried to get on a calculator and add that up? Rob, are you teaching on that on Sunday night or something? What eternity is? You know, how long is eternity? There's a great illustration Francis Chan used, who's authored some great books on about life and your devotion to the Lord. He talks about eternity, and he uses an illustration, and he preaches a sermon, and basically he uses a rope. And he takes this rope, and he pulls it across a podium like this, and he throws it out there. And he says, your life in eternity is like this rope that begins here, and it goes on into eternity. It never ends. Eternity is forever and forever and forever. And when you ask what the question, you know, what is eternity? It's forever, right? And he uses the illustration that so many, and he has on that rope some red tape, and it's about 3 inches long. And he says, this is eternity as the rope, but your life is that 3 inches. And he says, and he just really provokes some thought here, is that so many people spend all their life consuming themselves with about 1 inch of that red dot, of that red piece of tape. And they work so hard, that may be 30, 40 years of business, and they work so hard to that one day that they can work and then they can retire for that last inch of their life. And you know the sad reality of it is? They're not even considering the rest of that rope, right? They're not even considering what eternity is. They're making decisions to retire and to live their life just on this 3-inch piece of tape, losing sight of what eternity is. You know, there may be some of you this morning who are busy, busy, busy. You're busy doing things. You're busy conducting business. You're busy trying to prepare for the future. Don't lose sight of eternity. Don't lose sight of where that rope ends up. Because what you do today affects eternity. The decisions you make today affects eternity. How you conduct business today affects eternity. Are you making decisions today based upon what life really is? Not just a moment, not just today and here tomorrow and gone tomorrow, but life in the aspect of eternity. You see, thinking about things through the lens of Scripture and what God talks about, life is fleeting. As the psalmist here says, my days just pass away like smoke. One day we're going to wake up in eternity. And the decisions that we make today, first and foremost, is responding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord that you have a pastor here who preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday, who is passionate about God's word to open it and unashamedly and unapologetically teaches the truth of Scripture. And to that I commend. And that I would most likely, out of any church growth movement there is in this world, people ask you all the time, how do you grow a church? You know what my number one answer is? Preach the word. Preach the word. It's not a cool, unique strategy. It's not a fun game. It's not blow-ups. Those things are nice. Music is nice. We have our preferences. But if you have a man of God who stands up and preaches the word of God day in and day out, God will bless that church. And I'm seeing that and I'm hearing that here in Dayton, Tennessee. Not only does this individual lose sight or their perspective of life is a little bit skewed, but I think even their perspective of who God is has really been affected. What does he say there in verse 15 as he talks about our life? He says this, Instead, you ought to say this. He's saying there to the listeners, to the readers, this is what you ought to say when it comes to planning for the future. If the Lord wills, what does he say? We live. You see what? See God, what he's saying here is God is sovereign over our existence. If the Lord wills, we live. Is it any accident that you're here today? Is it any accident that you were created to be here for this purpose, for this sole purpose today, to be in this place this morning, to hear God's word proclaimed? Is it any accident that you are here? No. God is sovereign over your existence. The Bible tells us that when you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. From the foundation of the earth, God called you. From the foundation of the earth, God called you to be sons and daughters, right? So God is sovereign over our existence. And so if the Lord wills, we live. God is the creator. He is the sustainer. And we just sung about him. You know, our God is healer. Our God is awesome. Our God is mighty. He's the one who helps us. He's the one who sustains us. The very one who set every star in the sky created you for a purpose. He created you. Created you for a purpose. And he knows you. He is sovereign over our existence. If the Lord wills, we live and we do this or that. Not only is he sovereign over existence, but he's sovereign over our actions. We will do this or that. Going back to verse 13, this person is saying, I'm going to go do this or that, losing sight of what he ought to say, if the Lord wills. So what James here is telling us is that we must live with a proper view of God's sovereignty over our actions in life. As I said, just no accident that you're here. There's no accident that you got up and got in your car this morning as well and actively was involved in the process of coming and driving here to church this morning to worship. There's no accident that you wake up on Monday morning and you prepare yourself for work. There's no accident that you study for tests, young people. If you're still in school and studying and preparing for exams, there's no accident that those things take place. God is sovereign in every detail of our life. Every decision that we make, every action that we take, he is involved. You see, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18, verse 21, tells this as he's leaving Ephesus, I will return to you again if God wills, right? And also in 1 Corinthians 4:19, he writes this, when I will come then again to you soon if the Lord wills. A proper view of God's sovereignty is important. None of us would be here unless God has desired us to be here. None of us would be here today if God had not planned it. God is the author of life. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when we think about this, I like to describe sovereignty as a parade. Have you ever heard and really had sovereignty described as a parade? Go to a Mardi Gras parade. I went to New Orleans Seminary, was in New Orleans a couple of years, and had the fortunate opportunity, I guess you can say fortunate, to go to a Mardi Gras parade, a family-friendly Saturday afternoon parade. We went there, and we were attending, and we had a great seat. And I could see one float at a time. I would see that one that just threw us moon pies and beads going in the distance. And I could see that next one preparing for that great prize that they were going to throw us. It may be toilet paper. It may be some trinket. It may be some cup. But you know what? I saw maybe two or three. But you know what? God saw that whole parade. God is above our thinking. He's above our existence. And he saw that beginning float and the end. He sees the beginning and the end. God is over all. And so when we think about that, God is in every detail of our planning and our actions. And you know what? That's very important to live your life that way. You know what? If you're living your life in any other way, I want to warn you, because tragedy may be around the corner. I want to warn you, if you're trying to live life on your own or without really truly understanding who God is and his sovereign hand over all things, then I want to warn you that tragedy may be around the corner. Never find yourself in that place. You see, the Puritans, they had a healthy view of God's sovereignty. If you've ever read much about the Puritans or you ever studied much about them, they had a saying that they would always use in everyday life. It was called Deo Volente. And this was like a tag phrase that they would put on most of their writings or maybe conversation. And so, for instance, if I were a Puritan here this morning asking you or speaking to you, as I would say, Lord willing, I will leave this place today. You see, Deo Volente means God willings or Lord wills. And so everything they do, I'm going out to eat after the service today, Lord willing. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and go to work, Lord willing. I'm going to do this or that tomorrow, Lord willing. Lord willing. Lord willing. Is that your motto in life today, Lord willing? Do you have a healthy view of God's sovereignty in your life? Are you understanding completely? Are you making plans for the future with God's sovereign plan in mind? You see, Hudson Taylor tells this about making plans. God's plans, done God's way, never lacks God's supply. Let me say that again. God's plans, done God's way, never lacks God's supply. What are you planning for tomorrow? What are you planning for? Are you letting God be a part of your planning? Are you letting God design you and create you and allow him to work through you in your planning process? Is the Lord willing today to use you in a mighty way for something tomorrow? Are you allowing him to use you? Are you letting him use you? If not, I pray today you'd get that right. You'd work on that. You'd ask somebody beside you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond here in just a moment to this message. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to what God may be speaking to you right now about planning for the future. Are you seeking out life's fortunes on your own? Are you seeking out to make a profit and do everything you can in your own strength? Or are you submitting to the will of God? The second ingredient, and it's taking us a little while to get there, is I believe many of us plan with improper priorities. Some of us plan with improper perspectives, but secondly, I think in this scripture, James is telling us we plan with improper priorities. What causes a person to plan with an improper perspective or improper priority? Verse 16 is the answer. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting is sinful. What causes an individual to get to this place in life where their priorities are so out of order? What causes us? James is saying it. Our relationship to the world. Our relationship to the things of the world. Yes, Paul says, yes, you're going to have to live in the world, right? We're going to have to conduct business in the world. We're going to have associates in the world. But we don't have to be in the world, right? There's one thing to be of the world and in the world. And so it has a great impact. It has a huge impact. And here, James is not beating around the bush when he uses this terminology here. All such boasting here, this arrogance that's in your soul, that's been created by your relationship with the world, is evil. Is evil. There's no mixing words there. This arrogance, this defiance of the living God, in 1 John 2:17, he calls it the boastful pride of life. James talks a lot about humility, being a servant. Jesus talks about servant leadership. He talks about the one who will be first will be least today, right? In order to be first, you're going to have to be last. And that's how the upside-down kingdom of God is, essentially. If you read Scripture, it's kind of an upside-down. Many people, even the disciples, wanted to sit at the right, and I want my son, as the mom was asking there, I want one of my sons to sit on your right and on my left. And they were forgetting what life was all about. They were trying to get a place. They were trying to move themselves forward. They were arrogant. They did not humble themselves. And a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ must be humble. Humility is key. It is a trait that you must possess. And if not, and when you're in a crowd of people, a congregation like this that's sold out to worship and preaching the Word of God and responding to it, if you're arrogant and boastful and prideful and not humble, it won't take long for you to be called out and to rise to the top and really be seen. So I want to warn you this morning to not be so self-sufficient in your planning, not to be so self-sufficient in your arrogance to say that, you know what, I have been there, I have done that, I've got the T-shirt, right? Don't live that way. Lord, if you will, Dale Valenti, I will go to such and such a city, make a profit, come back in a year. Is that your way of life? But the world will tell us something different. The world tells us something different. The wisdom of the world says, trust in yourself. But the Bible tells us, trust in God. You see, the world tells us to believe in yourself. Believe in God, the Bible says. The world will tell us you're wonderful. You're pretty. Your best life now. But you know what the Bible tells us? You're a sinner. And unless you repent, you will perish. The world tells us you can do it. But the Bible says let God do it. The world says us to discover how wonderful you are inside. But the Bible tells us to discover how wonderful God is. Is that your life today? The world is encouraging you to discover the God within, but the true and living God who created you said, I am God and there is none else. There is no God beside me. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar, right, in the Old Testament? He looked around at everything in the kingdom and he became a little prideful and is boastful and look at what I've created, look what I have done. And forgot who gave him all of that, right? He looked around and said, look at all that I've created. Look at everything that I have done and accomplished because of my good skill and my abilities and my talent. Forgetting who gave those skills, abilities, and talents, right? What happened to him? He was humbled. He was put down to walk on fours. His talons grew. He had feathers on his back, right? Until one day he looked up to heaven and he realized the error of his way and he said, God, forgive me. I know now where everything has come from. I know now who has provided this to me and given me this. It is you. And Nebuchadnezzar was restored. And his life was changed forever. I think God has given us scripture to keep us to falling into the trap of Nebuchadnezzar. He gives us stories of King Nebuchadnezzar so that you and I will never go down that path in our life. That we will never get to that place where we look to God or just look around and say, look at all that I've attained. Look at all that I have done. Look at everything that I've accomplished, all my degrees, all my wealth I've accumulated for me and mine and us, and forgetting to thank God for it. We have that example of King Nebuchadnezzar so that we will never have to be humbled by the mighty hand of God. See, James here tells us in this earlier chapter in James 4, verse 7, tells us to humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. Submit to Him. He will lead you. He will direct you. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 12. Just another example here to guard and warn us and to keep us on the straight and narrow. He tells his disciples in Luke 12, 15 and verse 21. Just jot this down. Let me tell you the story. Take care and be guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he told this parable, telling them this. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops, right? Listen at this, the arrogance in this. I have so much. I don't even have any barns. I don't have barns big enough to store what you have given me. What I have, at least. And he thought to himself, And he said then, I will do this. I will tear down my barns, build larger barns, and there I will store all my grains and goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, be merry. But God said to him, fool! If there's one thing I've learned in my years in seminary, and Rob, you've probably done this. If God ever calls you a fool, you're in trouble. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no really, terminology in the Greek that's going to help with that. But God calls this individual a fool. And so when we think about this, he says, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up his treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, arrogance in the Christian life has no place. Pride of life, boastful living, has no place in church life for sure. Has no place in leadership. Has no place in the world, because you know the world tells us you need to be strong. You need to be of power and great respect. But what that leads us to is it leads us from what really, truly the example of it was, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus was a humble servant. He was so much of a servant that he didn't regard his own life, didn't even compare himself to God, the Scripture tells us. He forfeited that place in heaven, and he came down here. And his life became a ransom for you and for me and for every lost sinner in this world. And if we repent of our sins today and trust Christ for eternal life to take away our sin debt, because he paid for it there for us, because he humbled himself on the cross and died for you and for me, we have to make a response there. We have to decide today who we will live for. We have to decide today how we will make our plans. And are you planning on God's terms? Are you planning with God in the equation? But you know, you might want to ask the question, James doesn't end right here. This passage has another verse that I want to talk about this morning. The Christian life is to seek after the will of God. And I think our application, our walking point to this whole text is this, verse 17. We learn it here and we find it here. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for to him that is sin. You know, many people seek after God's will like it's the Easter Bunny. Many people seek after God's will like it's something hiding somewhere. I think all of you have prayed for God's will, right? Do you know God's will is revealed to you in Scripture? It's a great study. Scripture after Scripture after Scripture tells you what God's will for your life is. The first one is this, to be saved. God wills it all to be saved, right? That all men come to belief and faith. God wills that. You know what God is telling you, and I'm sure many of you in this place today, God is revealing His plan to you every single day. The problem of it is this. We miss it. It's not that it's hidden from us. We're just so consumed that we miss it. Our perspective is not right. Our priorities are not where they ought to be. And so we miss the will of God. Many of you are blatantly disregarding God's will for your life this morning. You know what you ought to do. And James here is really calling this individual out. You know the will of God, and you're not doing it. Do you know what that makes you? A sinner. In need of a Savior. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God our sins were paid for on the cross of Calvary. Our sins were paid for when He went there and He died a cruel death for us. On our behalf, He died there for us. In 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2 tells us this. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves in this same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time is in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God, right? So if you're going to live, if you're going to conduct business, if you're going to make plans for the future, why not submit your plans to God's will for your life? Why not submit yourself under the mighty hand of God and submit to His leading and His direction and let Him lead you and let Him bless you and let Him prosper you. Let Him do things with you that you cannot do yourself. Let Him bless you and your family as you cannot do yourself. Are you with me here this morning? Are you understanding what I'm saying? If we seek after God's will, you will find it. And if you know God's will, do it. And if you don't, you sin. So keep your mind pure. Keep your mind clean. Keep your heart pure. Keep your life unstained from the world. Because when we are in the world and allowing it to impact our thought life and our heart, that's where tragedy in the Christian life happens. Have you looked at the divorce rate in the church lately? Have you looked at divorce rates among non-believers? They're right there the same. Have you considered the homes right now who are being torn up by pornography and infidelity right this very morning? It's because we're allowing the world to affect our thinking. We're getting our eye off of what God would have us to do and to live our own life. To look at our own life and say, if it's going to be, it's up to me. No, that's not the way to say it. If it's going to be, it's up to God. If I'm going to exist, if I'm going to go to this place tomorrow, if I'm going to go to this town tomorrow and I'm going to conduct business and I'm going to make a profit, it's okay to plan. Keep planning. But in your planning, please consult the mighty hand of God. Please consult the sovereign God in heaven and allow Him to direct you. This morning, I'm going to invite you to respond in a couple ways. I'm going to ask you to respond to this message this very morning, asking you as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in a group this size, all have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, and you are running from God's will, and you are disobeying God's will for your life, and you are making plans apart from Him, then I'm going to ask you this morning to repent of those ways. I'm going to ask you to repent of that sin that is in your life. It's not just a bad idea. It is sin, the Scripture tells us. And so repent of that today. Chart a new path if it has to. Close down your business if you have to. Get new friends if you have to. Move if you have to. God's telling you to do that. You do that today. But you may be here this morning and you ask the question, you know what, I don't know God's will for my life. I don't know Him. I don't know Him personally. I don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I sing this stuff about Jesus all the time. I come to church, I hear these sermons, and it just goes right over my head. I can't catch it. If that's you today, you're lost, and you need a Savior. And you need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to pray a prayer or recite a poem. You need to change your life. You need to let Christ come in you, to work in you, to work through you, and to save you, and repent of your sins and believe the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ today. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to respond this morning. I'm going to ask you to respond where you're at, up here. I'm going to have Brother Rob come here. And we'll talk with you, and we'll counsel you on what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to tell you that, you know what, you've got to commit to Him. You've got to die to self. You've got to crucify your life and live for Christ. That is the gospel. That's what it means, being brought from death unto life. So how are you going to respond today? How are you going to respond? Is there a decision that you need to make? Is there a decision that you just want to get along with the Lord today and just ask Him His advice on? Have you come here this morning and you've got big plans for this week? And you know what? You've been challenged and you're going to walk away from here and you're going to say, you know what? I need to go back and restart my planning process. Because I'm looking across this crowd. There's some big planners in here. You've got your day planner at home. You've got your PDA out right now planning for tomorrow. Let me ask you, are you asking God, are those His plans? If not, would you do that today? Let me pray for you. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. And as I invite Brother Rob up, Lord, and whatever music we're going to play for invitation, Lord, I pray that right now that You are working in those two groups of people, Lord. Those who are here today who have been self-sufficient in their own strength and they're relying on their self to plan for the future, God, I pray that they would repent today, that they would seek a new way of life, Lord, that they would seek You, a life, a path that's God-honoring. And Lord, if they are here today, some who are here today and don't know Your will because they don't know You. They don't know because they don't know who to ask. God, if there's individuals here today who need a Savior, I pray that they will come forward here, that they will maybe right where they're at pray a prayer that will say, Lord, forgive me of my self-centeredness. Forgive me of my selfish thinking. I cannot live my life alone. I cannot plan on my own. Would You, Lord, save them today? Would they come now? Would they write where they're at? Would they find somebody after this service? Or they even come right now to these altars? They come to me, they come to Brother Rob, and they ask for forgiveness. Not ask us, but ask You. If there's decisions to be made today, Lord, I pray that You would do it, that You would speak to hearts and minds today, that You would change lives for the kingdom of God. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.